Greetings from the Michigan heartland, where our unemployment figures are of Great Depression levels, where we've gotten a good head start on the rest of the country. You want to know how to deal with the bad economic times, come up to Michigan and we'll tell you about it. It's been happening there for about a decade, so I bring you greetings. A couple of weeks ago, I asked my freshman history class how many of them knew Aesop's story of the city mouse and the country mouse. The only ones who raised their hands were my daughters, or granddaughters, who went to the Hillsdale Academy, where they actually read such things. I had asked the class several weeks earlier how many of them had ever set foot on a working farm. In this case, not one, even my granddaughters, raised a hand. Now, they can all text message, but none of them can grow a tomato. Now, Hillsdale College is certainly an educational conservative poster child, right? I would say then that based on this small test, in a certain way, conservatism must be doomed. Now, to conserve means exactly that. I don't think we've said that often enough this weekend. To conserve means exactly that. The country mouse who was lured to the big city by his cosmopolitan cousin was a simple Republican self-governing mouse. And when he found that he would have to live by his wits and on welfare in order to enjoy the text messaging life, he went home. Now, it's true that his simple life was dangerous. The number of country mice my old dog has dug out of their holes testifies to that. But the country mouse understands his relation to the created order. He knows his smelly neighbors, and he has something to conserve. Now, what he has to conserve is place and family. Well, let me put it this way, because this is the way our ancestors put it. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. This is from Micah 4:4. And it was, in English and American history, the basic definition of liberty. And it really sums up what there is to conserve. If our vines and our fig trees somehow morph into abstractions, whether those abstractions are free markets or equality or whatever they may be, and if not being afraid means that we have to send armies all over the world, then we run the danger of tripping that wire, that line, falling over into the area of becoming ideologues, and should call ourselves something other than conservative. My friend and mentor, Russell Kirk, gave us much to define conservatism, of course, but nothing, I think, so important as his insistence that whatever else we are contra ideologie. Forrest MacDonald said in 1983, and he said a little bit of the same thing yesterday, that, quote, conservatism as I understand it and believe in it is not an ideology or a program. Its programmatic content varies with time and place, but a set of values and an attitude toward changes in the established social order. Its opposite is not any particular dogmatic secular religion, such as communism, socialism, or fascism, but dogmatic secular religion itself. He went on to say, and here I'm paraphrasing, that conservatives prefer history, reality, to abstraction, moderation to extremism, reject all ideas of human perfectibility, know that evil is real, and that the world is not made out of Play-Doh. I remember, as if it were yesterday, sitting at dinner the night before the Philadelphia Society meeting was about to begin, just about this time of year in 1981. And there was euphoria in the room. Lots of drinking, too, but real euphoria. We had won. The world would be better because now we would get to handle the Play-Doh. And unlike others in the room, I had this moment where my heart sank quite far, almost into my shoes. So many people, it seemed to me, as heroically as they had gone through the transition team and as heroically as they'd begun to put an agenda which really would improve the world into place, so many of them had come to think that regime change rules the world. It was only then that I truly began to appreciate what, my students called St. Russell and Gerhard Niemeyer and others had been telling me for years. Politics, even at its best, is merely a reflection of what already exists in families and churches and neighborhoods and voluntary associations. The good, the true, and the beautiful are never created by the state. Walter Lippmann had, of course, noticed as early as the 1930s that the dominant dogma of the age, whether one happened to be called liberal or socialist or by any other name, the dominant dogma of the age was that government has the capacity to make us happy. And I felt as early as 1981, there was a possibility that would happen also to us. Robert Taft once said, one of the wisest things he ever said, you can't deal the New Deal. You can't. You have to know what to conserve. And those principles have to carry you through a time when you're tempted, sorely tempted, to try to deal. Well, what was there to conserve? The question, as I saw it at the time, it was the danger that we would cease being conservative and become merely Republicans. To a considerable extent, of course, that happened. And this made it possible for savvy types to make us into purely political animals. You remember the time that Bill Buckley ran for mayor of New York and was asked to do what he would do if he won? And he said, demand a recount. Well, he knew that what he had to offer was a way of looking at government that came from beyond it. What is there to conserve? If you're not first a country mouse, if you don't know your smelly neighbors, and you don't know the place you belong, and you don't know the principles on which we all have to live, if you're not a country mouse first, then I would suggest there's not much left to conserve. I was privileged to join this society in 1976. When Don Lipsett came to my home in Hillsdale, on Hillsdale Street, in Bill Buckley's hand-me-down Cadillac limo, and drove me around Hillsdale, I was sitting in the back seat. I even caused the glass to go up, so we were separated. Don was my chauffeur for an hour or so. He drove me around Hillsdale like the king he always tried to make so many of us feel like we should be. Now, Don, of course, really believed that Adam Smith ties would save the world, especially at $20 a piece and 2 for $44. He also believed that North Adams, Michigan, was the proper and good place for the international headquarters of the Philadelphia Society. And it was. And it was because Norma fixed hurt birds there. And Don piled up papers all over his storefront office. And he stayed up late to watch for the Ruskies. And he kept us all together because as long as we knew there is something worth conserving, we could overlook all kinds of differences that are, after all, often only cosmetic. I do believe that the leadership and membership of this society, and I don't think that this has been said often enough this weekend, the leadership and the membership of this society still operates in that same spirit. And if there is going to be a conservatism that reflects its legitimate parts, it will meet here and it will meet with us. I further believe that it's not bad for us to be down right now. Sometimes you have to lose to remember what's important. My pastor, Father Tom Butler, likes to say, the church is never better than when it's poor and under siege. Well, let ideologues be ideologues, but also let country mice be country mice, and let the Philadelphia Society be the Philadelphia Society, and conservatism has a chance. Thank you.